Motivation. It's all of 2 hours. In fact, it's less than that now. 4 to 6pm, it's our weekdays conversation. PM Drive, 91.3 FM. Assalamu alaikum and good afternoon. My name is MJ Lee, Muhammad Junaid Shafika, Kothar Sambo, as well as Muhammad Laith Morton. We'll keep you company through to 6, but we've got a special guest in studio. We've chatted regularly to him on PM Drive over the last couple of months. Some intriguing conversations that we've had. He's joined us in studio, and now he's in Cape Town for a couple of days. We've bothered him during his holiday period that he's not on. But Kothar has seen to it that we actually have at least a gift that we can provide him with. Mr. Donovan Williams, which we call the Don. Donovan, welcome.
Thank you, thank you. And you know, Kota is very, very persuasive. So there was no ways I could say no. It's more like, it's not. I don't know if it's persuasion or just instruction.
Okay.
But I just made certain, I said yes, and what time must I be there?
That's okay, thanks so much. So we're going to have an intriguing conversation with Mr. Donovan Williams, international relations expert, as well as columnist for The Mail and Guardian. So, from now up until 5:30, we've got Donovan in studio. We're going to look at a whole lot of, perhaps we start off local, the so-called GNU. What does that mean for South Africa? The rise of MK, maybe the fall of the EFF, I don't know. He'll unpack it for us. And then Russia, NATO. Because Vladimir Putin consistently says, it's not Russia, Ukraine. Ukraine is the proxy. He says, I'm facing NATO. That's the reality, the truth. Middle East, the genocide continues unabated. The fall of the Assad regime and the so-called opposition foreign-backed militia. Where to for Syria from here? So amongst others, that will be part of our discussion. And then 22:06, we get an update from Sawuk. And then before we conclude, an exciting update with Luqman Adams' show at the Baxter. Titled Joel Tate. I must be honest, I was there. But it was a fundraiser that Luqman Adams actually did for my non-profit. So if you just want to relax and let your hair down and go to the Baxter, so be it. It's actually an intriguing and very entertaining show. So there's an update in respect of that, because I think they're running through until the 3rd of January with Joel Tate, courtesy of Mr. Luqman Adams. Weather, markets, traffic, sport with Ian after 5:30. You keep us company all of 2 hours. 0829913913. If there's an opportunity, we may open the line. 021-442-3530. Monday Motivation. Mr. Donovan Williams in studio. Let's talk.
PM Drive, where minds collide. Participate in deep, thought-provoking, and cutting-edge discussions. This is PM Drive.
Breaking news courtesy of our newsroom and Kothar Sambo, always on the beat. 3 people have been killed in an Israeli occupation forces airstrike targeting several residents on Mustafa Street in the Shujaya neighborhood east of Gaza City, according to our correspondent. That's the latest update. So the genocide continues unabated, courtesy of the settler colony and the forces. I will never classify them as the Israeli Defense Forces. It gives them legitimacy. That's my personal opinion. They remain Israeli occupation forces for me. So let's head straight into our intriguing, and emphasis on intriguing, discussion with Mr. Donovan Williams joining us in studio. We've had plenty of amazing conversations with him, and kind of like left us at a point where we would actually go back, do some research, and then see how things play out. A lot of what he's spoken to us about, plenty of it actually started unfolding in the Middle East, mind you. Donovan, could we start off with our so-called government of national unity? The ANC was forced into a coalition with the DA because they were left rock bottom at 40%. And I believe even that 40%, there's a huge splinter that exists between two factions. So the ANC perhaps no longer holding the majority, and the DA holding the so-called moral compass, watching the ANC, the rise of MK, and are we seeing the decline of the EFF?
Look, all of these things have been a long time coming, sadly for South Africa. Our transition, and I'm calling it a transition, that occurred with the demise of apartheid, it took longer than let me call it unfriendly forces would have hoped for. When you look at all states in Africa are post-colonial in one way or the other, including Ethiopia, etc. And unfortunately, we are also a post-colonial state. And what has to happen has now finally occurred. You have the death of ideology in our politics. That's what the May 29th election signaled. You have, we've been forced into not doing what the country requires, but choosing between parties who want power. The ANC was the last bastion of ideological politics, a broad Congress movement, etc. But career politics, or what you could call stomach politics, prevailed many times over. Ourselves as people were sometimes led by sheep with rhetoric. Radical is one of them. Rhetoric like that, that claimed radical, claimed transformation. All of it used to further individuals' stomach and career politics. And the liberal parties like the DA and so forth, which are not necessarily ideological, they do what's necessary. They have a master. They understand their master, etc., in terms of they serve the West and therefore business in one way or the other. I've taken those gaps. So, I mean, think about it. We all, your listeners, I'm saying we all, your listeners and ourselves here in the studio, will talk about the importance of Palestinian liberation, but it doesn't necessarily dictate how we vote. That's how strong practical, non-ideological politics can be. We must be careful not to tell ourselves what we like hearing. And so for me, and I sound so somber, and I'm really a bubbly person, but the truth of the matter is, not all is lost, though.
Yeah.
This is what I believe. Now, this is, you're talking, I'm not talking about an analyst or anything like that, or supposed expert. I don't even know what that means, expert. But I still believe it's not irredeemable. We have to rescue our politics from politics without values. We must have politics with values, with ideology, with belief. But to do that, we have to go and do the real things. Like, for example, I think the ANC is partly in trouble since May 29th, not because of MK Party or the demise of the EFF. Those are all nice palace coup. Those are palace politics. They make good reads in newspapers and whatever. But it's not really what bothers people. Even at Braai's and wherever else and social settings amongst working and middle classes, they will have conversations like that. But that doesn't dictate that what they really want. What they really want and their needs must be seen to. Nothing stops the current ANC dealing with corruption, even in a so-called GNU.
Yeah.
Nothing stops the current ANC dealing with a lack of service in public entities. Being forceful about it, saying, when you come to get help, people must try to help you. Even if they can't, they must try and you must feel that they want to help you. That isn't GNU politics. Right? That's what people want. They want to feel that they are being listened to. And this is the demise of ideological politics. Because ideological politics, the ones I come from, is about servant leadership. That's what you're not feeling. So because you're not feeling that, you become practical and you say, I do whatever I'll need to do to advance myself. And then when I can, I'll take care of my neighbor. But I'm not going to make it one and the same. And that's the demise of that politics. That's what's hurting us. And the ANC can redeem itself and others and progressive parties and so forth if they actually deal with the issues that the people are dealing with. And I'll bring it to a global level. This is not just true for South Africa. This is politics around the world. All politics. So you're talking about the shift to the right globally. You see it, you know, Western Europe and the US with Trump, etc. You're asking, why? What's the shift to the right? Latino men and African Americans, they're voting for Trump, and in Germany, you know, bastions of Western democracy and social welfare, they're voting for right-wing parties, they're xenophobic, they hate immigrants, they hate people from the Middle East. Why are people doing this? You have somebody, where was it, in the Netherlands, who is a Saudi-born, you know, yes, anti-Islamic person shooting down, you know, etc. Right? It is because people aren't being listened to. If Donald Trump takes up the issues of people, that doesn't make the issue right-wing and fascist.
Yes.
But because the right-wing are taking up those issues, people then say, well, I know the left are not going to do anything, the supposed progressives. And that's what's happening in our country too. You're not having our parties take up our issues. So 20 million people don't vote. Hell of a lot of people didn't vote. And then those who vote say, I'm going to try to get myself the best deal. So I don't care if you are racist or you don't like me, but if you're going to actually do something, my life is a little bit easier. I know I'm still debating. And that's why I'm calling it a demise. So we mustn't get fixated with the GNU. There's no unity government in real terms. There's no unified program, etc. The ANC tries, but it's schizophrenic in a sense. There's no factions or whatever. It's pushing. The ANC's biggest problem, it's too inward-looking. So I include the SACP and all of that. They tend to look within themselves when the issues are outside. And the ANC's, the reason the ANC was so good at what it was and what it did, even before it became part of a government, was that it always looked at what did the people need, and that informed the ANC on the inside. It has lost that technique, that understanding. It's become inward looking. So it thinks that if it deals with the GNU is its gift to South Africa. Its political stability is its gift to South Africa. You'll hear, you know, President Ramaphosa speak when he's speaking on behalf of the ANC. You'll see him in Khayelitsha. I hope you go to Khayelitsha on January 8th. The January 8th celebrations of the ANC will be in Khayelitsha, which is a good thing.
Yes.
It means it's not going to be in Cape Town Stadium or whatever. Go there.
With the people.
Yeah, go there, Junaid. Mm. Interview them and listen, and then remind them that it's don't just do it for show. The issues of the people of Khayelitsha must become important. But what happens is when you take those issues, like a Donald Trump or someone in the ANC or whatever, and you use it for your own career, people see through it after a while. They get tired. And that's what MK Party was doing. That's what the EFF, that's why the EFF is supposedly going down and MK is supposedly going, it's musical chairs.
Hmm.
It's musical chairs.
Are they playing a game, Donovan? MK Party and the EFF. Is there a possibility they remain within the opposition benches? And I've had this kind of discourse with a lot of analysts through the last 4 or 5 months. Is it a political ploy executed by MK Party and the EFF? Because Floyd Shivambu has crossed the floor to remain within the opposition caucus and in the opposition benches. So in essence, is there any paradigm shift or difference?
But is Floyd Shivambu in parliament? Isn't he full-time in the MK Party?
Full-time.
Yeah, so he's not in parliament. He's not coming there and doing point of order on Julius Malema.
Mm.
Right? But you know, a few years back, I wrote, I think it was in the City Press. No, sorry, the Sunday Independent. One of my initial articles. I don't know if you know an American music artist by the name of Kendrick Lamar.
Yes, yes.
And Kendrick Lamar became famous, or he rose to the fore, because he was on a Big Sean, sorry for the terms, a Big Sean mixtape.
Yes.
And he did a verse on a Big Sean mixtape, where he disrespected, he dissed, to use the rap language,
yes,
the hip-hop language, Big Sean on his own mixtape. And it was an exceptionally good bar. That bar or that stanza became famous.
Mm.
Because he dissed Big Sean on his own track, amongst others. And everyone said, who is this? Those who didn't know hip-hop, like old fuddy-duddies like myself, you know? And my analysis of what Kendrick Lamar was there, he was doing the game. He was doing the hip-hop game. Part of the hip-hop game is you talk big, you boastful, you diss your guys. It's a game. It's just a game. He understands that. It's not personal. It's just a game. But then sometimes he doesn't just do a game. Sometimes he speaks about freedom and liberation and getting over oppression. That's no more a game.
Mm.
This other is a game. And our problem is our politics, from post-94 politics that have come out through the youth and universities, who are supposed to feed us, and NGOs in that matter, is we like the game of politics. We like the intrigue. It's outmaneuver. I'm going to get this one elected. That's the only time. The politics has become that game. So, yes, you could be right. MK and EFF are playing all this game. But when it comes to liberation and taking up the issues of the people, that's not a game. But where's that? So it's easy to get your people to come out and vote when there's especially so little people voting or lesser people than before. And it becomes that game. But after a while, it'll start to recede, And understand this, that the only thing in our societies, which are liberal societies or liberal democratic societies or capitalist societies, we use the economic term, the only thing the poor have control of, direct control, is elections, government and politics. All the rest is private. They actually have no control of. And it's the one thing that the poor are told not to trust, to not really believe in, and to not even, and to give up after a while, to be cynics about. So the elite want you to give that up, want you to give up the political estate, to understand it as a game, that every person you elect, you're not supposed to trust. It means you elect them and don't trust them, and then just fight them, create the instability. That's what they want. That's how the media is built. The media is built on our job is to make it as hard and as difficult for politicians. The people you don't trust is a lawyer and a politician, and a lawyer can just become a politician. Sorry, I just threw the lawyer in under the bus as such. But this is it. And I go back to Kendrick Lamar knows that the game is not what his art is about. The game is just having a little fun, but that's not the crux of it. Ask Drake.
We're having what, call it what you like, I'd say perhaps the year in review, right? From a political perspective in South Africa, GNU, the rise of that, the fall of others, etc., amongst others. Perhaps it's just a different transition that our democracy may be engaged in now. So we're taking perhaps a different route now, and our democracy is maybe being given expression from that perspective. So it's literally a year in review. With our special guest in studio, Mr. Donovan Williams. And then from the local perspective, we're going to head out of the country and look at our African continent, look at the Middle East, and importantly, the Global South. Some of us are fans of the Global South. We won't say who. Russia, China, and the Islamic Republic of Iran. Kothar Sambo in studio. Headlines up next. Weather markets.